Well, greetings, everyone. It's good to be with you on this special occasion. It's the first session that we are having in a new year.
2014. Happy New Year, everyone. And we have a great topic. I think Gail may have already told you. Don't we, beloved?
We do indeed.
Yes. Why don't resolutions, New Year's resolutions, work? We thought that might be very timely in case some of you are still setting resolutions. I imagine that some of you are. And so we want to talk about that and give you an idea of why they don't work or why they may not be working.
So how many of you have ever set a resolution after New Year's and you say to yourself, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to be more patient, or I'm going to hold my temper, or I'm going to be more attentive to people. And then by the time another 2 or 3 weeks or 2 or 3 months goes by,
or maybe even a day,
you've forgotten about it altogether. Or perhaps you're thinking about your intention, but you're seeing that you're not setting it. In fact, it's getting more and more difficult. Your anger is getting more pronounced. Your impatience is more pronounced, and you're eating more than you were before you set your resolution.
In fact, you're gaining weight rather than losing weight, which is what you intended.
So when this happens, most people think that their resolution isn't working, just like it didn't work last year, and just like it didn't work the year before that. So what we want to talk to you about today is, why is that? Why is it that resolutions don't work? Well, in order to understand that, you need to understand what happens when you set a New Year's resolution. When you set a New Year's resolution to do any of the things that we were talking about, be more attentive to your beloved, be more patient, lose weight, get in better shape, you are setting an intention, and you are invoking healing. Now, you can begin to apply what you know about creating authentic power. When you invoke healing, the universe responds. So if you say, I intend to be more patient, the universe will start to give you more opportunities to be patient, which means you'll start feeling impatient more and more often. You'll be driving and people will be going too slow. You'll want to call someone and their line will always be busy. You'll want to buy something at the grocery store and they'll be out of just the thing that you want to buy. And again, you'll find yourself impatient. You'll be on the checkout line that says express line, 10 items only, and there'll be 3 people there with a basket full of goods. Now, why is this? Because the only way that you can become a more patient person is to challenge your impatience again and again and again.
So, in other words, find all the parts of you that are impatient inside of you.
Yes. Let's assume that you've got one that's really impatient, and that's the one you're challenging. That's the one that's going to come up for you again and again. Now, what happens if you've set a New Year's resolution to be more patient, and suddenly you find yourself becoming less patient more often? And you say to yourself, well, this resolution isn't working, and they never work. In fact, it is working. And that's the important thing for you to remember. You've invoked healing, and the universe is assisting you. In other words, in order to become more patient, you need to find in yourself everything that's preventing you from being patient. In order to stop compulsive or addictive eating, you need to find within you everything that prevents you from not eating, everything that keeps you eating, and challenge it. How do you challenge it? You challenge it by becoming aware of the physical sensations in your body whenever this thing that's preventing you from being patient comes up.
Or that wants to eat. when you know you don't want to continue eating things that you don't need.
Right. So in other words, you apply emotional awareness. When you feel yourself impatient, instead of acting on your impatience, instead put your attention inside your body. Put your attention in your chest area and see what physical sensations you can find. And then do the same thing in your throat area and do the same thing in your solar plexus area. Now, there's actually 7 areas you can put your attention into, but we're going to focus for the moment on your throat area, your chest area, and your solar plexus area, because these are the areas that most people feel most frequently or are most aware of. So whenever you're impatient, don't act on your impatience. Instead, put your attention inside your body and feel what you're feeling. And you will feel the pain or discomfort that is driving you to act impatiently. In other words, when you act impatiently, you are covering up these painful physical experiences.
I'd say, beloved, though, that many people, when they're impatient, even if they stop to feel, they wouldn't feel anything in their body because they're not used to it. So it's important to remember to actually focus in the different areas of your body. In other words, feel what is happening in terms of physical sensations, not in your head, but in your body. What's actually happening here? Do you feel any discomfort, any physical sensations in your throat area? And not in your throat, your shoulders, your jaw area, even the back of your neck. So just notice your cervical area. Just notice if you feel anything. And it may take you some time to actually feel physical sensations, because if you're not used to feeling what's going on in your body, you'll think that you don't feel anything. And it takes some time. And so just to be patient, learn to be patient with learning how to feel in your body what is going on, in, you know, what physical sensations are happening. Because if you aren't aware of it, you won't be able to tell easily whether you are being really impatient and it's coming from fear, or if you're being patient and it's coming from love. And that's the way you can tell, because physical sensations are uncomfortable or painful when you're coming from fear, which would be impatience. And they are light and pleasant feeling when you're being patient. And sometimes, though, this is an interesting thing, sometimes when you are being patient because you're challenging that part of you that's impatient, you may still feel those feelings of discomfort in your body, but you're choosing consciously to be patient. So they still may be active in you, the parts that are that are fearful, that are frightened parts of your personality. But the thing is that you know you're consciously saying, I am going to be patient right now. And so I'm going to do the most patient thing I can do and the healthiest thing I can do at the moment.
So the first step is to become aware when you're doing the thing that you resolve not to do. And put your attention in your body to see what you're feeling, what physical sensations. And as Linda pointed out, if you haven't developed emotional awareness, if you haven't begun this practice yet, then you may think you're not feeling anything, but you are. Try again.
Are physical sensations in your body, whether you're noticing them or not.
Correct.
Is that what you mean? Uh-huh.
That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
Now, there's another step. Once you've done that, then decide what you're going to do. Are you going to act on your impatience again because you're feeling these painful physical sensations? If you do, that will temporarily anesthetize them. You can become impatient, you can act impatient, and that will take your attention away from these painful sensations.
So it covers them over and masks them then.
It masks
them. Yeah.
Exactly. Or you can decide to challenge them, and that means while you're feeling them, instead of acting impatiently, act from the most patient part of your personality you can find, from the most loving, healthy, grounded part of your personality that you can access. That is called challenging a frightened part of your personality, or challenging fear, or, in this case, challenging your impatience.
Which is fear.
It is indeed. Now, the first time that you do this, you'll have the experience of feeling all of the pain that lies beneath your impatience because you're putting your attention in your body and making the decision not to act on it, but to act with patience instead, or with understanding instead, or with caring instead. And as you do that again and again and again and again, are you beginning to get the idea? Eventually, the power of that part of your personality that's impatient will lose its grip over you, and you will gain power over it. And as you continue yet to challenge it, it will lose its power over you altogether. At first, it will come just as it has always come. You'll feel it just as you're learning how to do now, for example. You'll see its thoughts. You'll know that the intention is to change someone else's behavior so that you'll feel better, so that you won't feel impatient anymore. But you won't act on it. You'll act in a loving way instead. And eventually, that energy won't even come. And at that point, your resolution has come into being. So do you see what is required between the moment that you set a resolution, that you say, in this year, I'm not going to be impatient, I'm going to be patient instead, and when that resolution actually becomes a part of your life, the experience of patience instead of impatience. What comes in between those two moments is work on your part. That's your inner work. That is the creation of real power. Power over your impatience.
Mm-hmm.
The real power is the patience. The real power is the ability to be in the world in a loving way. And every time you set a resolution for New Year's and you think that just by saying, I'm going to be more patient this year, that you're going to become more patient this year, well, the same thing will happen that happened the last time you set that resolution. You didn't become more patient. You became more impatient because perhaps you didn't understand that the universe was assisting you in bringing into being the healing that you are asking for.
Yeah, I love talking about resolutions this way, beloved, because I know that I feel the same way about relationships. People come together in a relationship, and they want to have a loving relationship. But then they find, after a while, maybe after the honeymoon phase is over, that they are beginning to see things about each other that they don't like. And they're beginning to fight more. They're beginning to do a lot of the things that they used to do in other relationships. They start noticing that. So when you start noticing that, it's the universe's way of helping you to see parts of your personality, not parts of the other person's, but parts of yours, that you can address and you can intend to change in you rather than try to change the other person or get another partner so that you won't have to feel that again for a while in yourself. So really it always comes down to looking at yourself and changing what it is in you. So if I make a resolution and I want to be a certain way, I have to find everything in me that keeps me from being able to be patient, or being able to lose weight, or being able to stop shopping.
But you don't have to go looking for them. They'll come to you. So, for example, in this case, you're in a relationship, and you set the resolution to become more loving with your partner. Perhaps you've lost your patience sometimes more often than you want with your partner. Perhaps you've become critical of your partner. Perhaps you find yourself judging your partner. Perhaps you find yourself wanting your partner to be ways that you want your partner to be so that you'll feel better about yourself. And you're aware enough, perhaps because you've been watching videos like this, or reading The Seat of the Soul, or The Heart of the Soul, you're aware enough to see that that's what you're doing. Or maybe it's just painful to you because you've lost that intimacy. And so you set the resolution. I intend to be more patient with my partner. I intend to be more caring with my partner. I intend to be more in the energy of appreciation of my partner that I used to be. That is the resolution that will begin to show you everything in your life that's preventing you from the very thing that you resolve.
So instead of you unconsciously doing those things, if you really set your resolution, in other words, you set your intention, then if you really understand the universe is going to support you and showing you everything, then every time something comes up, every frightened, fearful part of you that comes up that's impatient or disdaining of your partner or judging of your partner is going to support you. And you'll say, oh, this is the universe showing me what's inside of me that keeps me from being able to have an open heart with my partner.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So you set the, you resolve to be more loving and you find yourself more distant, more critical. That's because of that resolution. Because to create that resolution requires your emotional awareness and your responsible choice. When you feel the pain that lies beneath the disdain that you sometimes express or the impatience, and you experience it without acting on it intentionally, that's creating authentic power. So have you ever thought about understanding your New Year's resolutions in terms of creating authentic power and what's required? If not, you don't have to know anything about authentic power to experience the reality that when you set an intention like a resolution, it will bring into your awareness everything that prevents you from the thing that you resolve to do. Become patient, become loving, become caring. In other words, the reason why resolutions don't work for most people is because they're not willing to do the work. They think the resolution is going to do the work. It doesn't. The resolution sets up the stage. The resolution puts energy into motion. The resolution takes you into a healing dynamic. And if you don't use it, you won't heal. Your resolution will not come into being. But it has already changed your life. It has brought into your life more and more of the very experiences you resolve not to have, so that you can experience them consciously. Consciously, your impatience, your disdain, whatever it is, feel the physical sensations that lie beneath it, and in that moment, not act on them. Act in the most caring or patient way that you can. That means that in that moment, your behavior will be patient because you choose it to be. But what you are feeling inside is the roaring inferno of the sensations that drove your impatience. Do you have the courage to do that? Do you have the commitment to do that? Eventually you will. And I'm confident of that because eventually the pain that's caused, that you are causing yourself, that you are caused by your own impatience, will become so great you'll lose friends. The people that you care about won't open themselves to you. People would will start to avoid you, and the pain, and you'll be lonely and angry and more impatient for things to be the way you want them to be. And so eventually you'll come to look at yourself as the origin, as the genesis of all that you're, of all the suffering that you're encountering. And then you may say, I resolve to change this, and that is the beginning of the change. Or more precisely, that is the beginning of your opportunity to change. Because that is the healing intention that will bring your awareness and power of choice to bear on what it is that you must change in order to experience the thing that you resolve to experience. Patience, caring, intimacy, closeness, love.
Indeed.
Indeed.
It's amazing, isn't it, beloved? It's so powerful how the universe supports us always. And if we're unconscious, we don't have the opportunity. In other words, if we're being controlled by the fearful parts of our personality, if we're being controlled by them, then we have no idea what's going on. We're impatient, we're angry, we're shopping when we don't need things, we're eating what we don't need, we're gossiping, we're doing so many things that other people may be doing as well, but we're unaware of it, completely unaware of it. We don't feel what's going on in our body. We don't have any intention to change it because we don't even know we can. So you do know that. That's what's exciting. You know there's a possibility for you to change, that you can set an intention or a resolution. You can make a resolution and really change yourself because you know that the universe is going to offer you opportunities to see everything that keeps you from being able to be setting a resolution to be, as Gary said, patient. You'll see everything in you that isn't patient, and especially those strong parts of you that feel impatient about a lot of things. And you'll be able to change that in you because you'll be able to feel where it is in your body. You'll notice what its thoughts are, and you get to choose not to act from that place, but to act from the most healthy place you can in the moment and keep doing it over and over and over again until it loses its power. That is powerful. That's authentic power.
So if you can remember, in fact, try to remember now. Mm. Try to remember the intentions that you set last year.
Mm.
Last year.
Mm.
Now, the chances are good that you can't remember because you set them at the time, but you didn't have the commitment to stay with them. Now, most people think that when you set a resolution, you have to have the commitment to stay with it because, for example, if you want to stop having that glass of wine before dinner each night and you set the resolution to stop it, then to light up a cigarette or to eat that extra chocolate chip cookie, most people think that it's just a matter of willpower, saying, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. It is a matter of willpower, but you're unaware of where your will needs to be directed in this case because you're unaware of the pain that is driving that need for the chocolate chip cookie. And until you have the courage to experience and challenge that, the chocolate chip cookies are going to continue to be magnetically attractive, or sex, or shopping, or gambling, or masturbating, or smoking, or drinking, or doing a drug.
So you're saying that when there's a part of my personality that wants to do the things you just spoke about, especially to excess, you're saying that that's a part of my personality that covers up pain that's in me.
It's always to excess when it comes from fear. When it's driven by pain, physical pain, that you're not aware of, that is unconscious to you, then the action itself seems so natural and automatic. Impatience, anger, disdain.
So I won't necessarily feel the pain.
Or need
then.
To please.
I won't necessarily feel the pain then. I'll just feel the urge to do something, to eat a cookie or to act impatiently because I have a right to act that way. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. When it comes to the cookie, you might not feel any pain unless you put your attention in your body when it comes to anger or impatience. Most people are dimly aware that impatience is painful, that anger is painful. Most people know that jealousy is painful, but they don't have the focus or the awareness or the commitment or the knowledge to put their attention exactly on the pain, which is physical pain in your body. Physical pain.
So why would I want to feel physical pain in my body?
Because until you do, you will not change. Your behavior won't change. You'll continue to become impatient, angry. All the things that we've discussed, all the things that are tormenting you will continue to happen until you intervene consciously, until you enter your life consciously. So in other words, we're not saying you must do that. We're not saying you must do anything. We're not even saying you should do that. We're not saying you should do anything. What we are saying is if you want to change yourself, if there's something about you that is tormenting you, if there's something about you that you don't like, if there's something about you that you want to change, what we're saying is, if you want to change it, you have to change it. You really have to change it. You have to step into your life with awareness and volition. And that takes commitment and courage and compassion and conscious communication and action. That's why the Authentic Power Guidelines can support you, by the way.
I think the reason it's so important, beloved, that when someone makes a resolution and they find themselves doing the very thing that they didn't want to do, to be compassionate with themselves and start again. You know, it's really important that you don't give up because you just think, well, I just can't do this. I obviously don't have strong enough will. Or, you know, for whatever reason, those parts of you are giving excuses for why you can't do it. The thing for me is always to trust the universe and have compassion for myself and start again. So the next time, I'm going to catch it sooner and get excited about catching it sooner the next time. And never to give up, never to say, you know, because that's exactly what a fearful part of your personality will do. It'll stop you because, first of all, you're impatient, and then you get disappointed with yourself. That's another fearful part of you that gets impatient or gets disappointed with you and feels like you're never going to be able to do it. Well, you need to, that's another part of you that the universe is showing you that's keeping you from being loving, keeping you from being patient, keeping you from loving yourself, keeping you from loving other people. So it's just a continuous thing every time. Like I said, you find yourself impatient, then you get upset with yourself and you're disappointed. Those are all experiences of fear that you can change in you, that you can feel. You can feel the pain of them and choose to do something loving instead anyway, even while you're feeling that pain.
And Linda said something very important. For those of you who are experimenting with spiritual partnership, which is probably many of you, and we'll be doing some more videos and talks about spiritual partnership. But spiritual partnership means a partnership between equals for the purpose of spiritual growth. And that means that you are each helping one another to do the very things we're talking about, to bring your resolutions into being, your resolution to be more loving or caring or patient. And as you do that, just as Linda said, Be kind to one another, and be kind with yourself. It took me a long time to begin to be kind to myself and other people. But it's really important. You can apply anything that you learn anywhere with a rigorousness or a strictness or an impersonality because you're excited and you want to apply something. But I'd suggest that whatever it is, you apply it with kindness and experiment with that too.
So if I, as your spiritual partner, if I noticed that you were impatient, would it help you to say, if you were impatient, to say, oh, don't worry, it's going to be fine. You're going to feel more patient next time.
No, of course not. If someone says that to you, they're not helping you at all. What they're doing is addressing. They're not helping you to recognize what you need to do to become more patient. If someone says, oh, don't worry, next time you're going to be more patient, you won't be more patient next
time.
So
what could I say to you that would support you if you were feeling impatient as a spiritual partner?
You could say lots of different things, depending upon what you feel is appropriate and what your intuition guides you to say.
One thing
you could do is help me, because we are spiritual partners, and we do this as often as we can remember.
Mm-hmm.
You would say, you might say, do you think you seemed a little impatient to me? Did you? Do you think that's coming from fear, or that's coming from love? Well, that's a leading question because impatience always comes from fear.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll help me remember that.
It's a reminder to you.
It's a reminder.
Because you don't, in the moment, you might be caught up in that thinking that you're in that frightened part and you feel like it's true, that it has a right to be impatient.
That's right. And if you're in that, in impatience, mm-hmm. your first reaction might be to say, no, I'm not impatient. I didn't ask for that. Your comment anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you see what I mean? It takes commitment. It takes courage to look at what you're actually doing in your life. You might also say, excuse me. You might also say, what are you feeling in your chest? Are you feeling anything in your solar plexus? Those are the kind of things that can help me do the work that I need to do to become patient.
Go ahead.
Well, what would be less effective would be to say, oh, there you are, you're impatient again. I'm so tired of you being impatient. Well, you can see that comes from impatience.
Comes from judgment, a frightened part of the personality. Mm-hmm.
In other words, in short, it comes from fear.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fear meeting fear. When love meets fear, that's a different story. When fear meets fear, that's a more painful story. You learn from both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But why learn through pain when you don't have to? And you don't have to. You have choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the major messages that we're always going to be reminding you of. Now, by the way, what happens when you set a resolution that isn't a healthy resolution? We've talked about resolutions that invoke health. I resolve to be patient or caring or more aware, or I intend to become closer and more intimate with the person I love or with my children.
Those are healthy, from loving parts of the personality.
But what about what if you set an intention like, for example, if you're a sex addict like I was, I'm going to get more sex.
What about a simple thing like I want to lose weight, because underneath that you have to look at, well, why are you losing weight? Are you losing weight so that people will?
Well, in the case of losing weight, I understand you're saying, what is the intention? Is it to be more attractive? Is it to gain friends? But it's a movement toward health. There is some health in that. But if you say to yourself, I want to make a lot of money because I just want to make a lot of money, because I want to buy a house that I don't need. And in other words, the question I'm bringing up to you is this. There are some resolutions that some people might make at the beginning of a year that come from fear.
I have a feeling many resolutions come from fear.
Yes. What will happen then? Well, the universe will always accommodate. The universe will always do what supports you in your spiritual development.
It doesn't mean that you're going to make a lot of money if you want to make a lot of money, but if the universe feels that will support you in your spiritual growth, then you may make a lot of money.
You may. Perhaps you need to be brought to the place where you can see with clarity that I have already made as much money as anyone could make, and my life is empty. What is it? My partner doesn't like me and I don't like her. The people that I work with or who work for me don't like me. I'm successful by every measure except my heart. And it tells me I'm in pain and my life is empty. If that's what it takes, the universe will help you make a lot of money.
So you'll see that's not really what counts.
That's right. If you are an alcoholic, the universe will bring you, it will help you come to that place. If you're an addict of any kind and you refuse to heal it, the universe, your own choices will bring you to places of increasing pain until you make the connection that you need to change yourself, and until then you'll continue. Well, the same thing goes with resolutions that are attached to these kind of unconscious behaviors.
I want to come back to what I said. If you make a resolution that you want to lose weight, but the resolution is actually coming from an unhealthy part of you, from that wants to find the right man or wants to look good so that you'll impress other people, if you're doing it for that reason, then you're going to create, maybe you will lose weight, maybe you will, But the thing is about that is that it is coming from fear. If you look really at every resolution and see, is this coming from love or is this coming from fear? In other words, why do I want this?
That's a good point.
If you look at that and you decide you want to lose weight, not because you want to impress people, because you want to really take care of your body, that's a really different thing. And then the universe will support you in being able to see all the parts of you that keep you eating more than you need or not exercising or not taking care of yourself. You'll find those parts of you and you'll have a chance to challenge them. You'll have a chance to look at them for what they are and feel where they are in your body, notice their thoughts, and not act on them and instead act from a healthy place. And so by the end of the year, if your resolution is a healthy one, it comes from love, and you stick to it by doing everything you need to challenge those parts of you that are unhealthy, that want you to stay the way you are, and then you also cultivate the parts that really care about you, and you'll find that you've transformed yourself.
That's a good point that Linda brings up, all of those points. If you want to lose weight, but your reason for losing weight is to manipulate and to control other people, then that is an intention that comes from fear. That's where anorexia and bulimia come from. The intention is not to become more healthy. The intention is to fit a self-image that a frightened part of you feels will be more attractive to other people. Health has nothing to do with it. In fact, we all have heard stories of people who have died from anorexia and bulimia. They did die of those things. They died of fear. They died of powerlessness. They died of needing so much to please other people, to have other people look at them in a way that they wanted to be looked
but
at.
But that particular frightened part is so extreme that it's never satisfied.
It's never satisfied.
Yeah, that's
never
why.
Never satisfied.
And it doesn't care about you.
So the point is, be aware of your resolutions. Begin to distinguish those that come from unhealthy parts of you and from healthy parts of you. And when they come from healthy parts of you, know that those resolutions are going to start changing your experience. They're going to activate the dynamic of healing, which means that the universe isn't healing you. You are healing you, and the universe is establishing the circumstances that will enable you to do that.
Mm.
That is genuinely the answer to a prayer. Well, it's been wonderful being with you again and to speak about something as important and significant and satisfying as resolutions.
Yes.
Why they don't work. They don't work when you're unconscious.
And
you don't want
can.
To do the work.
Yes, and how they can work
and
by becoming conscious.
How they do work, but they don't change you to be the way you resolve. They give you opportunities to change in you what is preventing you from becoming the way that you resolve to be.
Mm.
Well, think on these things. Take them inside. Be with them. See if you resonate with them. We're not asking you to believe them just because we say them. Experiment with them.
You know, I just wanted to give you a broader view of looking at what a resolution really is and how it's possible to use it to change yourself.
And we will be with you again soon. Now, we're going to end this part of the call. We're going to end this live streaming video, and we're going to meet you on Maestro.
Indeed, we're really looking forward to it. So we'll be with you in just a couple of minutes, as long as it takes us to get back on the call with all of you. Goodbye for now.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be back with you.
Hi, everyone. We're going to just take a moment of silence just so you can just look at what your resolutions are and what things may be coming up for you as we have talked this morning on the live streaming. So just open yourself, and we'll just take a moment and while everyone else is coming on the call. Okay, everyone. We're really wanting to talk with you and find out what you learned from the call, what insights you might have had about yourself. And also, we're also curious to hear from you about how, if you were able to create a more conscious holiday season for last year, for 2013, and just share an example of a conscious holiday experience that you had. So these are the kinds of things we would like to talk with you about in this portion of the call, because we are together.
Now, this is your opportunity to ask us questions and to share.
Absolutely.
So please, what I'd like to know is, did any of you recognize anything in yourself as Linda and I were speaking? Did you learn anything that's helpful to you? If you want to share or ask a question, then raise your hand by pressing 1 on your keypad.
You know the drill. So go ahead and it's your time. It's your time with us. It's your time to ask questions. It's your time to share with the whole group. Okay. And, of course, you know, I'm not... I think I want to say a few things. I want to say that I've been learning so much about authentic power, and I've been really thinking about this a lot. And I gathered a few people together over right after the first of the year, and it was really, really engaging and supportive and really enlightening about how you create authentic power, how you don't create authentic power, and then how you can choose to create authentic power. And it's really quite remarkable to hear different people talk about how they used to do something and how they do something now that's so different. So if you have anything like that to share, I would love to hear it also. And of course, you know that we're going to follow our intuition, and we may be calling on you too. But I think we'll start with, let's see. How about Regina? Regina, we're going to give you the microphone. There you go.
Okay, yes.
Hey, hi, Regina.
Hi. Yes, can you hear me?
I can.
Hello. Okay, very good. I was, one thing I was thinking about when you were talking about how to create authentic power with your New Year's resolutions was really interesting to me. One thing that I have resisted, and you all know, is the technical world, and it's always been very frightening to me because I felt really inadequate and didn't know how to handle it. So I decided to challenge that. Somewhere in the beginning of December, I started it, actually, and I made a comment when I was with my family about, you know, I think this year I'm going to make, or next year I'm going to make a resolution to get more techie savvy. And so what did I get for Christmas? An iPhone. And it's been a real interesting experience for me, that fear, that angst that starts in my around my ears and my jaws, and it just starts getting tighter and tighter. I'm thinking, okay, I have to call somebody and ask. That was the challenge that I needed to use, and it's been really interesting. I even call my grandchildren now. What is going on when this happens? And right now my ears are burning, actually. explaining this, but it's been very challenging and rewarding And I can do it. I can do it. But it's that. It's when my jaws start hurting. I really have become aware of that part of my personality and that sensation in my body, and that's when I call for help. And it's always there. It's there. And so, I'm glad to share that.
So instead of letting that stop you, you instead reach out and challenge it by asking for support so you can learn. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. Thank you for clarifying that.
I think that's what you meant, right? So
exactly.
What happens when you ask your grandchildren? How does that change things for you with them?
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, texting them and learning to use the letter U instead of Y-O-U and R instead of and learning to read a different language. It's been fun.
It sounds wonderful, Regina. And one of the things that fascinates me is that your intention to become to enter a domain of experience that you were completely out of and that you were frightened to do has led you to issues of expression. Have you noticed, did you notice to yourself that you have physical sensations in your fifth chakra area?
Yes, I have.
Did you notice that?
Yes. Yes. Very much so.
Yeah.
It's been there forever, Gary.
I know. We've been together. Yes. We've been together a while, so we know that. But what's interesting to me is you didn't say to yourself, I'm going to challenge the difficulty I have expressing myself. You said, I'm going to learn the tech world. An iPhone came into your life, and that is now taking you directly to awareness of and a challenge of these issues having to do with communication. Can you say what you need to say? Can you hear what other people have to say? Can you express yourself? And if you can express yourself, would other people be interested in what you want to say? All of these are the issues that are now not new to you, but coming up because of your resolution to become, to end your isolation from a large part of the world that others are engaging in.
Absolutely, yes. That's exactly what's happening, Gary. And I'm loving every minute of it, even the awful parts when I'm just lost. I know I can get out if I just ask another question or just take a deep breath.
Yes.
You
know what's notable to me, Regina, is that normally you don't speak up. Normally you let the frightened parts that are afraid to communicate, that don't feel like what I have to say is really important. Normally you wouldn't share, and immediately you raised your hand. I think that's really, really remarkable. So it's helping in lots of ways. You're challenging that part that doesn't want to speak up, that doesn't want to ask questions, that doesn't. But it comes through you thinking, you learning about technology, but it's helping you in other areas too. It's clear to me.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And a spiritual partner of mine kept encouraging me to do this. I mean, Pam got Pam. And she got a phone. Yeah, she got this phone, and she kept saying, oh, Regina, you got to do this. It's just da-da-da-da. And I kept saying, oh, no. And finally I just decided, I'm not stupid. I can learn this. So that's where it came from. Yeah.
Oh,
congratulations,
beautiful.
Regina.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing.
Thank you so much. You know, I know that Tingu had your hand up at one point, and I don't see it up right now, so I'd still like to call on you if you'd like to talk. Tingu?
Oh, hi.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I'm fairly new to this. I just signed up last month after reading The Seat of the Soul and Authentic Power. Well, actually, interestingly, I wasn't planning on dialing in today, but I'm so glad that you're asking me to speak, because that definitely means I have something to share. When I was listening to the live event, what was, I think, very poignant to me was the whole idea of losing weight, and what your intention is for that. So that was, for me, that was, because I, you know, my whole life I have, you know, really worked on developing really good eating habits, and I've really been questioning lately, you know, especially before eating a meal, you know, just making sure that I'm eating something that's healthy, I'm chewing my food properly so that it can, you know, not only be well digested, but really give my body good energy. And the other thing was that it was also significant of many parts of my life, because I, in the past, have been basically just really a very determined and driven person, and so that definitely applied to the types of things that, you know, I've been eating, just very, very, very healthy food, but just not to speak a lot. It was just saying, okay, that's another part of me that I definitely have to look at and also work with. And just signing on to this is really at a really perfect time in my life, because I'm just deepening my awareness of the frightened parts of myself, you know, learning to speak my truth more often and being silent when I'm supposed to say something. And so I'm very, very grateful that you created this, and really I'm glad that each day I get to learn a new way of seeing myself and other people. I want to say thank you.
Welcome, Tengu. And am I pronouncing that right, Tengu?
Yes, you are.
All right, and welcome. And
yes,
and,
indeed.
And of course, start looking at the other videos that are on that are on the website, and start, if you want, sharing some of your experiences on the Spiritual Partnership online forum. These are all tools available to you, and it's good to meet you.
Very
yes.
good.
Thank you. I've actually watched every video since the start. So when I signed up, that was the first thing I did. I've gone through every single video, so I'm current with everything. Just nonstop watching.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Okay.
Well, Tengu, I want to say, I'm not just to you, but to everyone, I'm really excited, because one of the things that's happening is that we are, there's a 25th anniversary of the Seat of the Soul coming out. And what's going to happen, by the way, Tengu, you won't be able to speak now because we put you on mute, because I want to just talk about this particular thing. Cause
you're
it's
you're
so
talking
exciting.
About an anniversary edition of the
anniversary
book, right?
edition of the Seat of the Soul,
yeah.
with a study guide in it. We may have mentioned it before, but, oh, I'm so excited about it. We're going in on Monday, tomorrow, 2 days from now, to actually, Gary's going to be recording the
I'm
study
be
guide.
I'm going to be recording the study guide.
For the audio edition.
Yeah, for the audio edition, and a new introduction I've written, which goes along with the original introduction. And for the study guide, I'm going to be recording some of it, but I've asked Linda if she would please come with me and record with me some of the things. Each chapter has different things that will help you go deeper into it and experience it and apply it, like questions, life lessons, exercises, sometimes even just a chart, sometimes helpful hints, sometimes stories. And we thought that if we had two voices in those parts of the study guide, it would make for more interesting listening. So that's what we're going to do the day after tomorrow.
Yes, we've been working on it for quite a while now.
And we'll tell you more about it as time goes by. There's a lot to tell. The study guide itself is, I think, going to be very, very helpful.
Oh,
and
yes.
There's an online extension of the study guide. In other words, in the book itself, there's a study guide, and of about 70, 75 or 80 pages, and it's also in the back of the e-book. And at the end of every one of those study guide chapters is a link that will take you to our website, and there will be an extension of the study guide chapter. So if you're studying chapter number 4, there'll be a study guide chapter for chapter number 4, and at the end of that study guide chapter, there'll be a link that will take you online to an online extension of chapter 4 study guide. And that's where you're going to hear the meditation, see a video.
And other things we feel are relevant to different things that are in the seat of the soul. But we're really excited about
yeah.
this, and we're going to be letting you know more about study groups and how to start them and different things like that, because we feel like that is yet another way to go deeper. And I know, beloved, you've had such a profound experience of rereading The Seat of the Soul and both of us and doing this study guide together.
Absolutely. And the book is coming out, by the way, on March 11th. So you can't buy it now. Soon you'll be able to pre-order it, but we'll let you know when.
Yeah, so we're really excited. We'll tell you much more. We'll just keep updating you. Okay, we'd like to take a... called Radhika?
Yeah. Hi, Linda and Gary.
Hi, Radhika. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
While I was on the call, something came up that was really significant, and I thought I was being punished this year, but actually, without my knowledge, my intention was to actually reduce my administrative work in the office so I can spend more time with myself. And the way I guess the universe presented it to me was I had a significant conflict with my manager who was kind of pushing me around. And it came to a point where the best solution was for me to step back and let my colleagues help me deal with the situation, which I was not very happy to do. But it ended up happening that I now can do less, which means get more time for myself. And I had to deal with all the frightening parts that came up that did not like to let go of the control and all the impatience that went with it. But when I was listening to your call, it came to me that the universe was answering my question. I want more time. I want to step back. And it actually came back and gave it to me. And the message, I had an intuition when this all, I was very upset about it. I kind of kept to myself for a couple of days. But the message was, you know, the universe is a compassionate place. You don't have to be afraid. You'll be taken care of. And it all makes sense now.
What a wonderful message.
Yes.
So beautiful. You really had
It wasn't fun,
things.
Though. Going through, I was very upset. So it sounds good now, but it wasn't. But I am happy that I was able to see, you know, what's going on.
Exactly.
That's
because you're interested in your spiritual growth. You're committed to creating authentic power. You're committed to looking at your life no matter what comes up. So that's so exciting. Even if you are upset and you don't see it at first, when you begin to see it, it's really beautiful, isn't it?
Yes. It's very empowering. And thank you. Thank you to both.
You are welcome. And thank you for mentioning something that's so important. It wasn't fun while it was happening. While you were experiencing the frightened parts of your personality. But that was part of the process. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you so much. Good to hear your voice. Happy New Year. How about Rebecca?
Oh, I wasn't expecting that.
Hi. You just have your hand up, right? Had your hand up.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting because I had the thought to click one and... I guess a frightened part of my personality didn't want to, and it ended up clicking anyway. So here I am. I've actually had a number of thoughts. I could totally relate to what the last caller had just talked about because I had a similar experience. But something that also came to mind while you had the video while you were on the conference video is the acronym HALT, H-A-L-T. And what that stands for is hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. My sister told me about this, and sometimes I think that when we're... Pardon? Okay, sometimes I think that physical things will cause us to react. Like if we're hungry or if we're tired, you know, sometimes we just need to be aware of that, don't you think?
Can you make that an I statement, Rebecca? Sometimes physical.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, sometimes I need to be aware of that, because oftentimes I will find myself eating late at night. And then I will think, wow, why did I just, you know, consume all at like 500 extra calories? And then I realize it's because I'm tired. I should have gone to bed.
So,
and, you know,
Rebecca, I have something to say about that. Tired, angry, lonely, and hungry are all things that you can just look at this and just see what you feel. But I really have noticed for myself that if I give myself an excuse of feeling tired or angry because I'm hungry, because I haven't taken care of myself, these are all parts of the personality, frightened parts. The anger is the part of you that feels lonely is a frightened part of your personality. The frightened part that feels tired, and you may actually, your body may be physically tired, but it's because you've been putting out energy of fear and doubt all day long. That's very tiring. When you're unaware of what you're doing, it makes you tired. It's of course. And then you eat things that you don't really want to eat because you're already in a place where the frightened parts are in control. So I understand what you're saying, but none of these this acronym is okay, but it really is important that you point to the fact that these are frightened parts of the personality that need to be challenged right away. If you're angry, if you want to be less tired and less lonely, challenge your anger. If you're feeling lonely, then do something wonderful for someone else. Stop believing that frightened part that feels lonely. If you're tired, make sure you take care of yourself, but be aware that you probably put yourself in that place by not challenging your fear. You know, so I'm just saying that there are ways to see that from a different perspective. Just like we were talking about resolutions. People don't usually look at resolutions. They look at them from a five sensory point of view. Okay, I'm gonna make this resolution. I'm gonna do it. And what's gonna happen is I am going to make sure this happens. And then when it doesn't happen, they're disappointed and they're upset and they're angry. But it's actually the universe offering them these opportunities that are immense when they say, well, I want to be patient, and then they have everything imaginable happen that makes them impatient, or I don't want to feel lonely anymore, and then every circumstance that could possibly happen happens to create you feeling angry or lonely or whatever it is. So I just want to offer that to you as a possibility that you could look at it in that way. Maybe you were saying it that way, I just didn't hear it that way.
Well, no, Linda, what I was saying is I think part of that acronym, like angry and lonely, I think oftentimes, you know, that plays into what we are discussing, you know, with aligning our personality with our soul. But I what I was meaning by like hungry and tired, for example, that part of the acronym, I think sometimes we just need to take care of our bodies. Like, for example, I work nights. I work overnight. And sometimes, you know, when everybody else is asleep, I'm up working. And I get tired because I don't oftentimes get the amount of sleep I need to get because I'm trying to get things done during the day when stores are open and things like that as well. And so my schedule gets really messed up. And sometimes I think that I really just need to take care of my body by getting more rest. And I will...
Okay, can I say something for a moment? Because we're running a little short of time now, and you're bringing up... And I think that what Linda is saying, at least what I'd like to share, is that, of course, if you don't get enough rest, you get tired. If you don't get enough food, you get hungry. But sometimes when I get tired or I get hungry, I can get irritable, I can get impatient, I can not be focused and in the present moment, and then I can blame that on my hunger or my fatigue. And the important thing is that experiences of anger, irritability, all of these emotional experiences are expressions of fear. And so if you consistently, or even give a period, if you give yourself a physiological reason for feeling irritable or not needing to pay attention or not needing to be present with people, then you're not addressing the deeper roots of those experiences. And we want to suggest that those are experiences that come from fear, being preoccupied, being overwhelmed. So the next time you feel as though there's a physical reason for being any of the things that you normally do when you're tired, that's when I'd suggest that you look, that you apply your emotional awareness and put your experience in your chest and your solar plexus in your throat, just like we talked about on the streaming video, and then challenge them.
Gary, I understand that, and I appreciate that. But if I were to simply just go to bed, I would wake up refreshed, and I wouldn't feel irritable.
No, it's.
Rebecca.
Well, you just do what you need to do.
Rebecca, it's fine. If you feel the way that you do, that's fine. We're just bringing out a possibility that many times when people are hungry or tired, they are in fear and they don't know it.
And no one here is arguing that if you go to sleep and you get a lot of rest and you get up, you feel better than when you went to sleep.
No,
But what I'm suggesting is that if you look at how you felt before you went to sleep, if you were irritable or not present or any way that you don't really want to be,
or
angry,
overwhelmed or stressed
then
out,
that you look at that as an experience of a frightened part of your personality rather than blaming it on being tired. Some people can be very tired and say, oh, thank you, universe, for this magnificent day I've had in the Earth School. I'm so looking forward to lying my body down instead of having unpleasant emotional experiences, which you might not be having. But if you are, those are the experiences to look at, not as caused by a physiological condition, but as coming from fear. The physiological condition will be there, but it's the emotional experience, and whether it comes from love or fear, that we're directing your attention to. But these are things to experiment with and just see if they if they help you or apply to you or not.
Indeed. So, beloved, I want to say a couple of things before we go into the groups, before we break out into the groups.
Okay.
So thank you, everyone, who asked questions today and who had comments. I really appreciate it. And I think what we'll do is we'll get ready to break into groups. And I think be sure you have your Authentic Power Guidelines with you to practice in the group so that you can support each other. And I really am so excited that that you can begin to share with each other again. So I want to say a couple of things, though. So we told you about, of course, that we're recording the study guide for the 25th anniversary. We're also going to be going to Santa Barbara to Gary's going to be taping a show with Oprah to announce the 25th anniversary. And of the Seat of His Soul, and she's also written a foreword for it. So I'm really looking forward to you all being able to get the book and see it, and maybe begin to start your own study group when it comes out.
You bet, and we'll let you know when the show comes out. It's going to be a Super Soul Sunday show.
Absolutely. Okay, so we do have an assignment for you too. I just want to tell you right now. I just want you to because we're going to have another. In 1 month, or about a month, we're going to have another call, of course. So I want you to, of course, log into the forum and sometime this weekend and share some things some resolutions or ways you can make your 2014 more conscious and rewarding and fulfilling. And I list two or three things that you intend to resolve so you can create a more conscious 2014. And share your list on the online Spiritual Partnership community so other people can support you in that, and you can support them and their resolutions. So, okay, so you're in your groups, and there'll be groups of three or four, I believe. And what I want you to do is remember that first of all, you can introduce yourselves right now quickly. We're going to unmute the mic so you can introduce yourselves to the people that are in your group and just say where you're from and who you are. Just introduce and decide who's going to go first, second, third, and fourth. So do that right now. So we'll open it up. Go ahead and do that. Okay, everyone. You're still in your groups, but I'm going to mute you for a moment. And what I'd like to do is we've got a few more minutes, and I just wanted to know, does anyone have anything that came up in their group that really excited you? You want to share about something that you learned about yourself from just your small interactions just now? If you do, just raise your hand. Just raise it and let me know. I'm really curious about that. Or anything else that you really wanted to say that you haven't had a chance to say yet. So feel free to do that if you'd like to. And in just a moment, we're going to be leaving the call. I do want to Okay, Carol Ann, let's unmute you. You said you wanted to say something really briefly before we leave the call. Yes, Carol Ann.
Well, I just wanted to say that my New Year's resolution was to be more open and loving, and I have already started creating that in my life, and there's been a lot of challenges with frightened parts coming up, but I can see where the universe is supporting me in creating situations for me to be able to challenge those frightened parts.
Thanks, Carol Ann. I really appreciate you sharing that you're seeing how your resolution is working.
It is.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay. Well, I think we might have time for one more person, but it's going to be very brief. Cindy, I see you have your hand up, so go ahead and we'll let you speak. You've got about a few seconds, so go ahead and tell us.
I just feel like everything about this call this morning so far has been completely supportive. And since before Christmas, I've been working on becoming more emotionally aware, and I feel like everything this morning, including the members of my group who I've met previously out there in Oregon, things are reaching me at a different level than before. Instead of just I understand the concept, it's going a little bit deeper. So I'm excited about that. It's a good beginning, I hope.
Oh, that sounds wonderful, Cindy. It sounds really wonderful. I'm happy to hear that, and thank you. And for those of you we didn't get a chance to call on, maybe next time you can raise your hand sooner and we can make sure that we get a chance to talk to you. And if you have any questions or any insights you want to share with us, just send it to aplc@seatofthesoul.com, and we'd be really loving to hear from you and hear what you're learning. And please, of course, share it on the community board as well. So Gary and I are leaving the call now, and you can stay with your group as long as you like. In fact, I'd suggest that you do stay with them a while and see what you can learn about yourself. We suggest you continue to share your insights about yourself that you've had during this session and maybe over the holidays what you've been learning about being conscious, more conscious of having a conscious holiday season. And then what you can actually do to make a more meaningful and conscious year for yourself this year. And if you plan to challenge these parts of your personality, so you'll recognize, and how you plan to, really, how you'll recognize them and how you'll act from loving parts instead. So any of those kinds of sharing would be so good. so helpful, so supportive. You can begin to, you can use the Authentic Power Guidelines, and you can begin to really be spiritual partners with you, with your, with each other. So if you, so we're going to be, if you need to leave the call early, be sure you go to the online forum and share there. If you don't have time, feel free to read what others are sharing as well. And right now we're going to go, and we'll be seeing you February 22nd. That's our next session, and we'll have lots of really interesting and wonderful things to talk to you about by then, I am sure. So enjoy yourselves, and we're looking forward to being with you in this new year, 2014.
Indeed. Bye for now.
Bye for now.